And closing this month's podcast, I'm reporting from the Cambridge Neuroscience 2014 meeting, and I thought I'd get a glimpse of some of the other research that's being presented. So I caught up with PhD students Kate McAllister, Katie Manning, and postdoctoral researcher Martin O'Neill for their views. Firstly, Martin.
I like to work on obsessive-compulsive disorder by Paula Banker and Valerie Voon from the Department of Psychiatry here in Cambridge. This work shows that patients with OCD, obsessive-compulsive disorder, are impaired in their ability to gather information under conditions of uncertainty, rendering them more cautious in their decision-making when faced with uncertain information. And this caution, or this lack of willingness to accept uncertain information, may underlie the persistent compulsive behaviours observed in people that suffer from OCD. The reason this research grabbed my attention was because my own research is on the basic brain mechanisms involved in risky decision-making, and it's quite separate from OCD research. Now, a lot of my research is basic research, so I'm interested in how the brain functions in normal day-to-day situations. And risk, when I refer to risk, I also refer to uncertainty in the same way that this research does. And this is really embedded in most decisions that we make frequently. You know, very few things in life occur with absolute certainty. So I'm interested in the basic mechanisms, but this research here shows that these basic approaches can also be applied to investigations of clinical conditions such as OCD. But then in turn, the findings from these clinical conditions are actually informing us also, in our sort of basic approach to neuroscience.
Thank you very much, Martin. Kate McAllister, what's caught your attention today?
I was really interested in Professor Ian Goodger's work outlining the establishment of the Neuroscience and Psychiatry Network, or NSPN, which is a collaboration between London and Cambridge. So the NSPN has been set up to create a database of adolescent brain data. So the teenage brain undergoes huge changes during adolescence, like two main ones, one of which is myelination, so improving connectivity between brain cells, and also synaptic pruning, so honing neurons and neuronal connections to their optimum. Teenage years are actually also a really critical time in developing neuropathologies. So a lot of psychiatric disorders begin in adolescence, and also it's the first time that we're most susceptible to risk-taking behaviours, so like drug-taking and substance abuse and things like that. So the NSPN it aims to look at between 2,000 and 3,000 typically developing people between the ages of 14 and 24. And they're going to look at participants using cognitive tasks, behavioural insights, but also scanning. Something that's been quite a theme throughout the whole day today that I've noticed actually has been the need for collaborative large-scale studies. As much as we have really amazing neuroscience research going on at the moment, we still really don't understand that much about the brain. And I mean, we understand even less about the adolescent brain. So I'll be really interested to follow this study and see what they find over the next few years about this really critical period of neuromodulation.
Thank you very much, Katie Manning.
So I thought a study done by Dr. Timothy Rittman and Dr. James Rowe and colleagues, mostly based here at the University of Cambridge, was really interesting. And it looked at the hypothesis that neurodegenerative disorders, so disorders that progressively affect the brain, involve greater damage to areas of the brain which have more functional connections within the brain. So this is looking at how areas of the brain are connected in terms of communicating with each other rather than, say, just in terms of anatomy.
And so they were looking at neurodegenerative disorders like, for example, Alzheimer's or more Parkinson's or Huntington's?
So this has been looked at in Alzheimer's before, and they were wanting to see if this idea was also applicable to other neurodegenerative disorders. And in this study, they looked at Parkinson's disease, progressive supranuclear palsy and corticobasal syndrome.
And what is it exactly that they found?
They were using functional magnetic resonance imaging, so it's fMRI for short, to build up a picture of the network by looking at the activity in different areas of the brain and how that correlated with the activity in other areas. And one of the things that you find when you do that is that there are some areas which get lots of connections to, from or through them. And these areas are called hubs. And so the hypothesis was that these hubs are particularly affected in neurodegenerative disorders, and these areas would show the greatest connectivity loss.
So if we're looking at these hubs, these networks in the brain, as almost like a transport system of communication from one area of the brain to another, how would this compare to, for example, I don't know, a city like Milton Keynes, which is here in the UK, which has got lots of roundabouts, but lots of main road systems. And then if you look at London, for example, which has got lots of convoluted side roads, is that the similar thing that they're looking at here in terms of these hubs and these nodes of connectivity?
Yeah, it is really. I mean, perhaps a good analogy to look at it would be sort of like, say, King's Cross Station. So
King's Cross Station is one of the major train stations in London in the UK.
Yeah, people are travelling from all areas of the country to get somewhere else, and so that might be coming straight through King's Cross and just crossing over, so using it as sort of a stop on the pathway. So in this study, they had 150 participants, and some of those had one of the three disorders, and then there were also some disorder-free participants. So these are, they're called control participants, and they're used for comparison. And participants also completed some tasks to measure their cognitive abilities. And for all three of the neurodegenerative disorders that were investigated in this study, the researchers did find a reduction in the connectivity of hubs compared to the controls. And actually, also, as they predicted, they found that weaker hub connectivity was also related to poor performance on some of the cognitive tasks. And so they suggest that these hub regions are particularly vulnerable in many neurodegenerative disorders, and that their reduced connectivity that might then be really important in understanding these disorders and in future be able to inform us in evaluating patients and providing information that might be useful for clinical treatment.
So I suppose the next step is looking at ways of making sure that the King's Cross train station in these patients' brain kind of gets up into gear and starts working again.
Yeah, so I guess the next view for this treatment down the line is how it can be used to help the patient groups. And in fact, understanding the functional networks of the brain in both health and how this is affected in people with certain disorders and in people at high risk of developing these disorders is an area of neuroscience in which there's an awful lot of research going on at the moment.
Well, unfortunately, that's all we have time for this month. Thanks to Cambridge Neuroscience for this special podcast featuring Barbara Sahakian, Michael Owen, Trevor Robbins, Catherine Manning, Kate McAllister and Martin O'Neill, reporting from the Cambridge Neuroscience Seminar. I'll be back again next month to find out about autistic spectrum disorder. Could environmental pollutants play a role? Is it simply extreme male behaviours? And can you diagnose newborn babies and start treating? We'll find out. If you have any comments or questions, please contact Hannah at thenakedscientists.com. You can tweet at Naked Scientists, or you can post on the Naked Scientists Facebook page, and you'll find the full transcript for this episode and other Naked Neuroscience episodes on our website. That's thenakedscientists.com/neuroscience. See you next month to open our minds.